you today. I hope that you are doing well. I want to welcome you into our online service this morning. I'm thrilled to be with you as you and I gather by the Spirit of God to hear the truth of His Word proclaimed. And so it's good to be with you. The psalmist in Psalm 86, he declares, "My Lord, my God, I praise your name and will honor it forever." And so this morning, as you and I hear the proclamation of God's word, we're going to praise his name and we're going to honor him by reflecting and celebrating on who he is as he's revealed himself to us. And so I hope that you're ready to dive in this morning. If you are, go ahead and get your Bibles. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 21. You and I are going to move forward from where we left off last week. And we're going to continue forward in week three of our June summer series, God's Connection. And so where we've been the last 2 weeks and where we're going to be today is we're going to continue to think about who God is in the earliest portions of our scriptures. You and I have just gone through this rich and this full season of Easter where we've seen who God is as revealed in Jesus and how it's through Jesus that God has brought redemption to the world. And when you and I experience that redemption through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that equips and enables us to reflect and represent God to the world based on what we know in the gospel. But God's redemption just didn't start in the first century with the birth of Jesus. In fact, God's redemption started early on the very first pages of our Bible. And so in light of what we know about God through Jesus, you and I have gone back to Genesis, some of our oldest and most ancient scriptures, to affirm who our God truly is, who we know Him to be through Jesus. And so this morning we are in Genesis 21, moving forward from where we were last week as we talked about a cast of very familiar characters, especially if you have a background in church, Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. And so this morning we're going to move forward from those events as God made a promise 25 years before and then fulfilled and kept that promise as Isaac is born to Sarah. But before we dive into the proclamation of God's word, let's first and foremost prepare our hearts and minds to hear him speak to us today. So if you would you pray with me? Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So if you have those Bibles and you're ready to go, Genesis 21, verses 8 through 13, hear the word of the Lord. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son mocking, the one Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, "Drive out this slave with her son, for the son of this slave will not be a co-heir with my son Isaac." This was very distressing to Abraham because of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed about the boy and about your slave. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her, because your offspring will be traced through Isaac. And I will also make a nation of the slave's son, because he is your offspring." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wow, what a wonderful way to dive into worship this morning as we reflect on who God is. If you have a background in church, if you were with us last week, then these characters, this event is very familiar to you. Last week we briefly looked at how God calls Abraham. When he is 75 years old, he calls him from his homeland into a foreign land. And then sometime between him being 75 and 99, God comes to Abraham and establishes a covenant with him. And the stipulations of this covenant, it included three things really. It included real estate, that Abraham's offspring was going to possess a land that God was going to give them. The second thing was that Abraham's going to have offspring, because you see, Abraham and Sarah had failed to conceive. Sarah's womb had been closed all of her life. And when God calls Abraham, Sarah 65. When God makes a covenant with Abraham, Sarah is closer to 90. And so Abraham believes the improbable. He believes the impossible, that in their older years, as Sarah is past menopause, as her womb is closed and the reproductive organs are ceasing no longer, God says, no matter, not only am I going to give you land, but I'm going to give you an heir. And so Abraham believes God, believes the improbable, trust in God. And then, around 99 years old, God comes back to Abraham and ratifies the covenant that he made with Abraham. And actually gives him more details, gives him more information that Abraham is indeed going to have an offspring in a year's time. And that offspring will be established with the same covenant that God established with Abraham. And that it's in this seed that's going to come from Abraham and Sarah that God's going to affirm that covenant from generation to generation. And then the thing which God promises happens as Abraham's 100 and Sarah is 90. A child is born as promised. Isaac comes into this world and becomes the flashpoint for this family that God has chosen and called to work His great redemptive work throughout all of history through this one family who's going to become a tribe, who's going to become a nation, who's going to become a kingdom. And it's from that lineage and that ancestry that our Lord and Savior Christ is going to come from into this world and fulfill all these covenants that God has made with Abraham and in his family. And truly it is through Christ from the lineage of Abraham that the whole world is blessed. And so you and I read from the moment that Isaac comes into the world, from the moment that God's movement to reconnect himself with the world through humanity truly starts as he builds his family for the world's redemption, the family whom Christ will come from, the family whom, as God promised, the world will be blessed. And what's interesting about this call and about this covenant is that Abraham, before God calls him, worshipped many gods. This is kind of a little known fact that may make some of you comfortable, but what's interesting is God calls this man, who himself and his family were polytheistic. In the ancient Near East, they worshipped a host of gods, yet our God, Yahweh, God the Father and Creator, calls Abraham, makes these covenants, makes these promises, which we see God has kept and has begun to work through this one man and his family to do something very special in the world. But if you don't believe me, if it makes you uncomfortable that Abraham was called out of polytheism, Joshua tells us as much from Joshua 24. And so I'm going to read you the first three verses of Joshua 24 so you can recognize that we're not making anything up today. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the region beyond the Euphrates, led him throughout the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants. I gave him Isaac." And so you see, as we realize and recognize in Genesis 3 and Genesis 6, that man is so fallen, so evil and wicked, so turned in on himself and the world, that man has been totally alienated and isolated from God, the Creator. And so man doesn't know God. Man knows many gods. Man's understanding of God, as was Abraham and his family, was distorted and perverted by the cultural religions of their day. And so when we see God pull Abraham and take Abraham and covenant with Abraham, do the improbable and impossible for a 90-year-old Sarah, and give Abraham and Sarah a son, Isaac, and then tell Abraham that this son, Isaac, is going to have more children, and that those children will have more children, and before you know it, Abraham's offspring is going to be as numerous as the stars of the sky, from God's own words, but yet they're going to be a blessing to the world. And we know part of that blessing is fulfilled and culminated in Jesus. In fact, the whole blessing is culminated in Christ, as we're privileged to have the full revelation of Scripture and the witness of the Spirit with us. But what's important, Grace Point? What's important about what God's doing here for a man who is in a family who worship many gods is God is calling someone from humanity and begins to truly reconnect and reveal himself to humankind once again as he established relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden. And as they sinned and turned away from God, and as man from generation to generation turned into themselves and became more wicked, far from God, God's movement to continue to connect with us for our sake and for the world's sake never ceases. Because what these covenants do, what God's doing with Abraham, church, and is so critical and beautiful, is he's revealing himself to humanity once again. And he's starting with this one family, with the man who worshiped other gods. God is bringing him in, making promises, establishing a relationship. And so it's going to be through this family over time as he keeps affirming the covenant through Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and David. And then as Christ ushers in the new covenant, what we see God doing over and over through this family that starts with Isaac, through all the great covenants throughout the Old Testament, is reveal himself more and more to his very good creation who has turned away from him. You and I, and all of humanity before us. And so these covenants aren't about promises. It's about God remaking himself known to the world who had turned itself away from him. And so it truly is through God's covenant with Abraham and all the offspring that follows that God's divine revelation and plan of reconnecting begins to usher himself back into the world as a world who knows him. And as the world comes to know him, God comes to establish a relationship with the world again to renew and to restore that which is broken and that which is separated as God retethers himself with us based on his sheer unmerited favor, his grace, holy, and goodness. Nothing that we deserved, but out of his perfect love that created us as very good in his image and likeness to restore and redeem that which fell away through our own choice. What a holy and powerful God as he takes this man who followed other gods and patiently and with grace and love begins to reveal himself in a way that's going to unfold deeper and greater and tenfold with each generation through Abraham's offspring that fully culminates in Christ, who is the exact nature and full representation of God himself. And so from this moment that Isaac's born, God begins to follow through with his promises, but God begins to truly reconnect with the world in a beautiful, powerful, and holy way. And you see, this is all well and good because God delivers. He follows through. That was the sermon title last week. He follows through with his promises and he keeps them. But you see, before Isaac was born, I want to say 13 years before Isaac was born, when Abraham was in his mid-80s, Abraham and Sarah do a thing, right? God has made these promises to Abraham. Abraham believes and trusts God in those promises fully, but yet Abraham does what you and I do too often, is we take matters and things into our own hands, church. Abraham and Sarah, whether they were skeptical of God, which we know Sarah was, unfortunately, at a few junctures, whether they were trying to overly participate and just try to follow the will and the way of God with well intention, whatever it is, we can speculate, but Abraham and Sarah do a thing. And they realize that they don't have an heir. Sarah's been unable to conceive. And so Sarah says, look, if we're going to have a child, if we're going to have an heir to our house, I can't give it to you. And so they make a decision that baffles us, that wasn't uncommon in that culture. I'm telling you, the people in the Bible is a foreign and different world. And what's unnatural to us was an everyday thing for them, or practice, if you will. And so Sarah gives up her Egyptian slave girl to Abraham. And so Abraham knows the Egyptian slave girl intimately, and she conceives a son. And so Abraham and Sarah, of their own accord, of their own will and way, find a way for Abraham to have a son through an Egyptian slave girl, a son born named Ishmael, his mother named Hagar. And so these two characters, maybe less known than Abraham, Isaac, and Sarah, are the characters that we find in our text today. As Isaac is born, Ishmael begins to mock and ridicule. Sarah becomes upset. The Lord says it's okay. And so the Lord tells Abraham to kind of push Ishmael and Hagar away, because the Lord's already made it clear that even though Ishmael came from Abraham and is Abraham's offspring, God's covenant and the affirmation of the covenant from generation to generation, how God reveals himself to the world through Abraham's family, is not going to come through Ishmael. It's going to come from Isaac, the very son that comes from Abraham's wife. And so God tells Abraham to distance the sons, to split the family, that Ishmael will be blessed, because God said that Abraham's offspring would be blessed. So God, in his grace and mercy, blesses Ishmael. But it's in God's own will and way and plan that he had designed and set through Isaac that God is truly going to bless and continue to reveal himself to, continue to bless the world through. And so what's important to realize here, and it can be missed because it's a nuanced point, but the principle is this, that Abraham and Sarah tried to do what they wanted to do. God had made a promise. They tried to do it on their own, outside of God's own will in way. Whether they didn't trust, whether they were just trying to help God along, who knows? But what's important is that despite what they did, despite having Ishmael, God's plan was never thwarted. God's plan for the covenant that he had established with Abraham, that he would continue to affirm from generation to generation for the redemption of the world, to reveal himself to the world, was never thwarted. Despite Sarah and Abraham doing this thing, God still made good on his promise, and God still executed his end of the covenant. And so God's will and way continued despite what Abraham and Sarah did. And I think that's so relevant for us today. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're an un-Christian, is that we try to do so much on our own. Especially as Christians, we try to discern the will and the way of God. How we can best live into the call that he's placed on our lives, how we can utilize the gifts that he's given us by the Spirit. And we see these promises in the Scripture. We understand who he is. We understand what he's about. We understand what we're called to. Yet, even though we trust it and believe it, sometimes we just take measures into our own hands more than we ought to. Instead of just trusting God and recognizing that it's God's work and way. All of this covenant language, all of these promises, all the things that God's going to do through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, and Jesus, is from God. All that this family accomplishes is from God. And we can't lose sight of that, that what we do in this world, how we live, how we think, how we relate to God himself, it's not about us. It's not about what we can do and not do. It's about who he is and what he is doing that we can trust and rest on, church. And this is so important. Because the moment you recognize that you can't overcome your sins on your own, the moment that you recognize that not any self-help book on the market is going to change your life, but it's the gospel that transforms you and the power and grace of God that's going to free and liberate you from your sins, the moment that you can live as a truly free and liberated person in this world, that it's not about you in any shape, way, or form. This family, this man that God calls and begins to reveal himself to the world to, followed many gods, but yet it's God in his grace coming to us, doing for us what we're incapable of doing, restoring us back to his image and likeness to truly represent him in the world. Earlier this week, I met with the group of leaders in the church, and I reminded them something a mentor of mine always tells me that I never forget, is that God's stake in Grace Point and in the world is much greater than my interest, wants, or desires could ever conceive. That God's stake and intention for us as a church and for the world as a whole is far greater and wider than anything we could ever perceive. Because you see, God is Creator, a holy, good Father, has more stake and desire for everything that he has called good, and especially for what he has called very good in humanity. And we can't lose sight of that God is for the world, for us as a people, his church, more than we could ever be for ourselves and for one another. And we can rest in the fact that since God has a greater stake in us in the world, we can rest assured that we can trust and rely on his grace and power to do that which we desire for him. I know that's kind of a tongue twister, but it really is about what he's doing through us, not about what we're doing on our own. And as soon as we can grasp and trust that God is the God who is going to bring redemption to the world through Jesus, regardless of what we do or don't do, we can rest at ease and truly just glorify and delight in him when we recognize the ball is not in our court. God always has the ball, and he calls us as he wills, and he sends us as he needs, and he equips and empowers us to do what we could never do on our own. And when we begin to recognize how awesome that is and trust and praise that glory and just rest in the fact that we can't ever thwart what he's doing for us, that the finished work of Christ is the finished work of Christ, that Christ once and for all defeated the powers of sin and death, and it's through God's grace by our own faith that we're received into that, that we're equipped to take that power to the world. So it's not about us. It wasn't about Abraham. What he and Sarah did or didn't do, or what Israel would do or not do, it was about God working, never being thwarted, no matter how well-intentioned or nefarious our actions are. God's will and way in this life to reconnect with humanity for our salvation and for the restoration of the world is never going to be thwarted, is never not going to happen. We can rest in that. We see it in the Scripture. And those of us endowed with the Holy Spirit recognizing, know that by God's internal witness within us all. And so God's plan is for us, is for the world. He has a greater stake than we could ever could. And anything good that's ever come out of any believer and follower of God has come by him working through that person himself. Once you believe and trust on that fact, you will truly be freed and liberated and begin to live an abundant life, just delighting in God himself, that your sins are truly forgiven, that the fear of death is truly eradicated, and a contentedness for this life and a hope for the next life just inundates your whole heart, mind, and soul. Many of you know that over this last month or so, I have lost 2 cell phones. If you're a leader in the church or if you're staff in the church, you've recognized this more than anybody. I've had cell phones for 15 years. And I've never once not lost a cell phone, not damaged a cell phone. I was the guy that had the iPhone 4 for like 8 years. In fact, Apple shut it down for me and forced me to go get a new phone. So I baby my cell phones, but in the last month, I've lost a cell phone to a creek. And then last week, my replacement phone got ran over by a fire truck. And that's just a story for a different day. And so now I'm on my 3rd cell phone in a month. And what I've recognized and realized is that each time one gets damaged or one gets lost, my heart sinks a little bit. Because my pictures, my contacts, all my business information for school, church, and work are potentially gone. All that information that kind of helps guide and lead that I rely on daily is potentially gone. But I recognized early on that, thank goodness, there was something called the iCloud. basically a system restore function where all my information syncs up with some server some far away, and when I get a new device and I activate that device, Apple brings all my information and puts it back on my new phone. That it's not deleted, that it's not lost, that it's not gone. That those pictures, that those contacts, my precious apps, all the things for business and billing, all the things that I do for work that's on the phone comes back to me. And so as stressful it is as losing or damaging a phone, the information that I really need from that phone is restored and given back to me. And it's just been an absolute lifesaver this last month. And as I got to thinking about just that system restore function from the iCloud, it really got me thinking about what we're looking at here as we think about God's redemption, not ours, and what we think about how God's plan will never be thwarted. God's plan and action in the world will never be thwarted by what we do. And I got to thinking about how we all, I think, just wish that we could restore our own lives, that the bad decision we make in the moment, that the bad news we get on the phone call, whatever we do that we wish we couldn't do, that the guilt, the shame, the illegal activities that just create negative consequences in our life, how we wish we could just hit a restore button and reset to the day before, or reset to the week before, and that all these negative consequences would just be erased and we could start new and fresh when everything was good. And as I thought about that, I recognized that with our God, no matter what we do, no matter what Abraham and Sarah did, God's plan for the world was still going to happen, was still going to continue. And no matter what you and I do, God's plan for the world still goes on. The grace and the redemption found through belief in Christ as Lord and Savior is still present and operative no matter what you do, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how shameful or guilty you are. Forgiveness still exists through the finished work of Christ that began when God called this one family, that started with the birth of Isaac. No matter what that family did, no matter what Abraham and Sarah did, God assured the world that he was going to reveal himself, and that revelation was fulfilled in Jesus. And it's in Jesus that sin and death are defeated once and for all, that we can be reborn, we can be forgiven, and we can be freed from that guilt, that shame, and those sins. But let me be clear, God doesn't erase all those consequences of our actions that were bad. We carry those as scars. But what we can do is rest in his promises and redemptive work of Jesus. And in a sense, when we come to him and receive his pardon and forgiveness through Christ's blood, in a sense, we're restored. What's happened in the past isn't gone. But what we do in the future is a new slate, a new life, living under the reign of Christ as Lord and Savior. And so recognize, church, doesn't matter what you do, good or bad, intentioned, indifferent, ignorant, God's grace, God's mercy, God's plan for the world will still persist and continue in Christ through the work of the Spirit. And if you're found in him, you're called to participate with him to be a blessing to the world that was promised to Abraham in Genesis 12. And so with those words, with those thoughts, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we reflect on who you are. God, as you have revealed yourself through Scripture, God, no matter what the people you do, what the people you call do, God, no matter what they do, as you've called and used them, your plans have never been thwarted. That it is your redemption, not ours, that has been brought to fruition through your Holy Son. And God, we just ask and pray that through these words, by reflecting on who you are, God, that your Holy Spirit just intersect our lives and give us what we need, conveying the graces that we need to be found as your child, to serve and love you for your purposes in this world, to turn from ourselves and from this world to you, to be reunited to you, called as you originally called us to be, in your image and likeness, representing you and reflecting your glory to all. And it's in your Son's holy name We thank you and praise you, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, Grace Point, it's been wonderful being able to proclaim Scripture to you, to pray with you before I give you a benediction and send you out into this week. Just a few announcements. First and foremost, it's Father's Day, so I want to give a shout out to all our dads and fathers out there. You play an important role in the lives of your children and in your marriages, and so we're thankful for you. And if you're a dad, if you're a father, wherever you are, recognize that you have a special calling in this world to your family. And so we thank you for all the fathers out there who have made positive impacts. I want to remind you that online VBS begins on July 13th, and we'll go through that whole week. If you want to sign up, if you're interested, you can go to gracepointatmountolive.com, click on the VBS tab, and you can register online. If you need supplies, if you want more information, don't hesitate to reach out to me or a family discipleship director, Beth Reeves, and we'll get you what you need. We want you to participate in this VBS. It's going to be great, and a lot of people have put their heads together to make a very good online experience for our kids. Remember that you can give your tithes and offerings online at our giving portal at gracepointatmountolive.com, quick and easy. If you want to send in your checks, you can do that. We have people checking our mailbox pretty consistently, but it's still easy, it's quick to give online, and we hope and pray that as God has blessed you in these uncertain times, that you would give and continue to bless us so that we can have the financial stability we need to continue to serve you and serve our community. And speaking of serving our community, our food pantry team touched over 60 lives yesterday as they distributed food through our drive-through food pantry with a skeleton crew keeping good COVID-19 precautions. And so we're thankful for our food pantry team, and we're thankful for being able to bless the community as we have. And so guys, hear this benediction. From Proverbs 19:21, wisdom says, "Many plans are in a person's heart, but the Lord decrees will prevail." That many people think about many things and have many different intentions, but it's God's plans and decrees that will prevail and overcome all. We have seen the beginning of that plan and decree with the call of Abraham and the birth of Isaac and the nation that becomes Israel and the son of Israel, Christ himself. That God's plan has prevailed, and he desires for us to receive it and to be a part of it. And so live and serve this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.